Tonight on the Preposterous Gamer, I take my destiny in my own hands. By that I mean I've been playing the hell out of the alpha for Bungie's upcoming title, Destiny. What are my impressions? Do I see a future in this title? Do I wish I had the complete game in my hands right now? Listen, find out on the Preposterous Gamer. So a quick note before we get started on Preposterous Gamer tonight, I'm doing limited post-production on this episode. I want to get it out there as soon as I can. I was planning on getting this podcast up and running, when the embargo ended, around noon Pacific time today, June 10th. And unfortunately, well, just listen, you'll find out why. And now, let's start the show. So I guess best place to start is the basics. I've been playing Destiny. There's a lot of stuff that's been out there. With E3 starting now, a whole lot of stuff is out there. But for a long time, the game was kind of, more or less an unknown. It's coming out from Bungie. People brought us the, Halo and Marathon game franchises. So, they have experience in first-person shooter realm. But this game's supposed to have more of a social impact. That's how we were sold on the game when it was first being teased, I think about a year ago, sometime around E3 of 2013. So, first off, it is a first-person shooter. Second off, it's a lot like blending an MMO with it. So, I never played the Borderlands games, but from what I understand, according to Dan P. and John, this game has a lot in common with the Borderlands games, where you have the more open world, a little less directed in the big picture of things, but first-person shooter type of mechanics, so a lot like a Borderlands. However, coming from not playing a Borderlands, I'm not going to talk about how it stacks up Borderlands. I mean, I can't talk about my experience compared to an experience I never had. So, let's start with the basics. So first off, when you begin the game, at least all of these impressions are off of the alpha. So if anything changes for a final release, we'll find out then what really happens. But for now, what I'm seeing is you start the game by designing your character. First off, you pick your class. And there are three classes. The Titan, which sounds sort of like the heavy-duty dude, the fighter class. And the Titan starts off with Striker as its sort of, prestige. At level 15, each class can go to a subclass or a new prestige. Unfortunately, the problem with those, the level cap for the Alpha is 8. So I can't tell you anything about the prestiges. Titan can prestige as a defender, which special abilities make it sound a lot like a tank. So a guy is going to put up the shield to protect your party. So next off would be the Hunter. And that would be what looks like the Rogue class. So you start off as a gunslinger. So essentially you're all about being skilled with your guns. And then later on, the Hunter can become a Blade Dancer, which sounds more melee specializing. A lot of talk in the short description of the subclass of being a master at, just slashing dudes. So that sounds pretty cool. Then there is the third class, the Warlock. And this is what I played. And pretty much Warlock would be, closest to the Mage. Remember, keep in mind, this is a first-person shooter. So, in a first-person shooter, you're not exactly going to have flat-out rogue, fighter, and mage. But the Warlock starts off with Voidwalker, and pretty much manipulates sort of time and space. So you can make little mini vortexes, sort of anomalies. So essentially, you create DOT, just black holes, which is pretty damn fun. Really fun. And then the Warlock can become a Fire Singer. Sounds like there's probably a lot of damage over time with sticking of flames. Pretty much think of a lot of different games where you have a flame attribute and you start burning people. So I don't know how these subclasses are because, well, like I said, level cap is 8 and subclasses come at level 15. Then next off, you pick your race. And I'm not sure if they have any real purpose. It seems entirely cosmetic, at least at this point. So unlike, let's say, Phantasy Star Online, which that is a game I played with sort of a similar feel, although, you know, it's not first-person shooter, it's a lot less super serious, but it has the same sort of feel of there's 3 classes, 3 races. But unlike Phantasy Star Online, at least right now with the alpha, there is no difference in the races, really. So there's human, which I'm guessing in the final game may be the jack of all trades. There's the Awoken, which are sort of blue-skinned human-looking things, kind of night elfish. And I'm willing to bet they're more attuned to energy in the final game, so more of the warlock type of race. Then there's Exo, which are cyborg in look, and they're probably more of the physical, like can deal a lot of damage, maybe not as good at taking energy damage, and not as good at dealing energy damage. Then, of course, you pick your gender, male or female, yada yada. I don't think it affects anything, but cool, you know. Then you have your cosmetics, where you could pick your face, your skin, your eyes, your hair, your lip color, and tattoo or markings. You play most of the game in first person with a helmet on, so you're not going to see this stuff. However, there is a hub world in the game, the Tower, where you essentially do your purchasing, your upgrading, where you do your business. And in the Tower, your helmet's off, and it's third person, so you can see yourself. Not to mention, anyone else playing can see you. So, I mean, cosmetics doesn't really mean anything anyways. I mean, we're talking video games. But if you like immersing yourself into your character, hey, there you go. Right there, do your cosmetic stuff. So anyways, like I said, I played a Awoken Warlock. I played female because, you know what? I have no problem playing male or female character. Plus, who knows, if I do voice in a game, it's fun to have this voice come out of a female or whatever. Anyways, then your character will have your primary, secondary, and heavy weapons. So primary is like your assault rifles. So there's auto rifle, which is basic assault rifle with auto fire on it. There's a hand cannon, which think about what it sounds like. There's a scout rifle, which is a lot more like a hunting rifle, and then a fusion rifle, which sort of you charge up and shoot a little rapid burst. I played pretty much the whole game using the auto rifle. I did a little bit with the scout rifle, but the auto rifle, I just love having a rapid burst. Each weapon, they all have different stats for things like impact, which is how hard the enemies get hit. So, you know, like a hand cannon usually is going punch a dude, just smack him around, which will knock him off his balance for a short bit. A lot of the auto rifles I used, they didn't really have the impact, but there's also rate of fire, there's reload speed, there's how much damage it does. When you find special weapons, so like any modern MMO type of game, you have regular weapons that are gray, you have the green ones that are the rares, and they probably go higher beyond the alpha, so probably eventually there's purple legendaries, but whatever. I played with an auto rifle. I love the, you know, pretty much if there's a bunch of enemies, I love just lay down a spray. Then you have your secondary weapons, which they have, so all of your primaries have one ammo type, all of your secondaries have one ammo type, and all of your heavies have one ammo type. And secondaries, the way I started, I had a shotgun, didn't really care for it too much, because I'm doing a spray of assault rifle. And then there's pulse rifle, which is kind of a charge up and shoot a blast of energy. Tried it one time, not my thing. Then there's the sniper rifle. That's the way I like play. I have my auto rifle for putting down a line of spraying down on the enemies. Sniper for long distance and see the guys coming. I love having the good close zooming scope so you could just see where enemies are ahead of time, make your strategy. Then the heavy weapons, there's rocket launchers, there's sort of mini or machine guns. You, as far as I could tell, you don't use them in the alpha. I wish you could. All of your equipment has level cap or level requirements for it. The level cap, once again, level 8. The only rocket launcher I could find, the lowest level, was a level 9. So, didn't get to play with that. You change weapons on the fly pretty quickly, so you could carry a shit ton of equipment. There is no encumbrance, as far as I could tell. And if there is, on the tower, the hub world, there is a storage locker, and you could just store a bunch of crap there. So, you could change your equipment at any time. You hit the option button on PS4 controller and just change your loadout. But whatever your equipped primary and secondary weapon, just hit triangle and you'll switch over nice and quick. So, you know, that's the basics. Now, going beyond the basics, let's go to the fun stuff. Once again, I played as a warlock. Maybe I'll try on their alpha or a beta. So if you pre-ordered the game on PS4, you're allowed into the beta sometime in July. So might be doing that. And at that point, I could try more stuff. Limited time on this alpha. I mean, it just started up late last week. Played through the embargo of today, so didn't have too much time. I wanted to really milk one class for all it's worth. So the fun stuff. All classes have hover. From what I understand, the hover is from jet boots on the non-warlock classes. The warlocks actually kind of levitate themselves. So when you jump, if you're going upwards on your jump as the warlock, hit it again and hold it, and you'll kind of boost yourself a little higher, and then you'll hover. Kind of a slow, think Princess Peach from Super Mario 2. You know, that slow hover, except you're slowly going down. It's pretty cool. Gives you a lot of maneuverability. Gives you a good chance to get places you couldn't go. Then there's the grenades. It's on the L1 button. You kind of have unlimited grenades, but limited. Once you throw one, it takes time for it to recharge. So it's kind of like an MMO, it's a time-based thing. You wait for the cooldown to go through. With the Warlock, they throw a void grenade, which essentially wherever it lands and detonates, there's a black hole anomaly. Enemies that are in it start getting massive DOT, and they could leave the area, or they can end up going back into it if you're baiting them. And it lasts for probably a good 5 seconds. So you could kind of use that for a little strategy. As you go through, you do level up these fun class abilities. So I think there's like possibly grenades that actually suck the enemies in, or I think maybe they stick to the enemy. So, you know, there's cool things that grow from it. Takes probably about a minute to 3 minutes for a grenade to recharge. So you're probably only going to use one once per battle. Next up is your super, and your super is L1 plus R1. Takes about 5 to 10 minutes to charge, and for the warlock, sent out a huge blast, kind of think a mortar shell that ends in a giant grenade effect, a giant vortex of doom, and it feels great to use it. I don't know what it means, but you craft orbs of light when you kill multiple enemies with a super. It looks cool, it feels cool, but having only one every like 5 to 10 minutes makes you realize how precious it is. It's your last resort. So speaking of preciousness, of course you have your health meter and shield meter, kind of all in one meter. And just like with Halo games, your shield recharges when you don't take damage for a little time. It'll start just ticking back up. Your health, at least on the alpha, also refills. So once your shield goes down to about 1/4 left, it becomes health. But all I could tell is it's essentially saying you're in critical state when your health is injured, because it all recharges over time. So next off comes my favorite, and it's such a small thing, the melee attack. That's on your R1 button, and oh, the Warlock, every time you punch someone, you have void energy on your hand, at least when you're a void walker. And when you hit a dude with that, you will knock the shit out of him. Deals massive damage. If you hit a dude and you kill him, he might, like, have his head just pop off and roll off. He might just turn into, like, a glowing skeleton that burns out into nothingness and disintegrates. It looks so good. You could do it repeatedly. It recharges, like, almost instantly. And it makes it so worthwhile to play as a melee-based character. If you're chasing an enemy around, you know, some sort of square cover, it, instead of trying to trick him, come out and shoot him, it's worth it to start running after him, dash towards him, and smack him in the face with your melee attack, and just watch him disintegrate. Feels so good. It's my favorite melee attack, and it's my favorite melee attack in any first-person shooter. Favorite one I've ever seen, and it's probably my favorite ability in this whole game because it just feels so satisfying, so powerful. Then, you also get, every class, you get a ride. So, you have two different rides. You have your spaceship, which will take you, essentially, you hold down the touch, or tap in the touchpad, and it'll put you in radar mode. So first, let's talk about radar mode. You put away your weapons, and you pull out your little, like, guide cube, and it'll show you where different objectives are. And we'll get to that in a sec. But you can also summon either your spaceship, so return to orbit, essentially leave the level, which, you know, it's standard, you know, MMO fast travel. And then there's your speeder bike. You essentially can summon a vehicle that is your mount, and you start off with what looks like a speeder bike out of Star Wars. It's fast, has a boost button. It goes quick, it controls smooth, it sounds awesome. The engine, when you hit that boost, it sounds like it is angry at the world. Such a fun, fun mount. And you could just jump off of it whenever you want. When you jump off of it, you could go back to where it is, or you could resummon it. And you'll find new mounts or, you know, speeder bikes. As you go through a game, you could buy new ones at the tower. And then, something important with your specials is everything levels with time, or I think levels with use. So if you start killing a lot of things with your grenade, you'll have a grenade experience meter that will fill up. If you keep using your super, you'll level up your super. I think your hover levels, pretty much everything levels in the game, including yourself. When you level, doesn't seem to do anything different to you. But what it does do is it opens up new weapons and new armor. So that's something else, is you have a helmet, you have arm armor, leg armor, body armor, and a class-specific armor. Class-specific ones, they're kind of confusing what they do unless you get a green one, a rare one, that may have a special bonus on it. Your actual other armors, they have armor values, and you can see if they're better or worse. And they also all are, of course, cosmetic. So they'll change how you look in real time. I mean, standard MMO, standard everything stuff. So as you play through a game, it essentially breaks down into different mission types. So first, there's normal missions that are found in a destination screen. They can involve multiplayer, single player, and probably it's a great game to play with friends. Too bad none of mine have a PS4 because I could have gotten them codes to get in and play with me. But, you know, normal missions will include, like, you start the game with one of you have to kill a witch. So the enemies, it's pretty Halo-ish stuff. It's an alien race that took over Earth. First mission, you're going through, and you're working through an abandoned, rusted-out sort of factory to find a witch, which is a high-level sort of a lieutenant for the enemies. Shoots a lot of shit at you, pretty impressive, and can summon little, like, peon, little grunt guys. And one thing that's cool with these normal missions, Peter Dinklage is the voice of your little, like, helper cube. When you go in that that radar mode and you see your little cube that'll show you where things are in the story missions, that's Peter Dinklage talking to you. One and only Tyrion Lannister. Love that. So much better, in my opinion, than Cortana. Forgive me. So there's one normal mission within the game, and that's, you know, all you get to see. It's a cool mission, or I should say in the alpha of the game. So then there's also the, I think they're called strike missions, where you have to have a team. It does matchmaking if you don't have friends with you. It'll do matchmaking going into it. I never could get into it because every time I played, there weren't enough people playing. I mean, it's a limited alpha is playing, so it's hard to find people. After waiting in the matchmaking screen, needed 3 people total. It might finally say one person has joined me. After about 5 minutes, that one person will quit, and after another minute, I quit. So, didn't get to play it. From what I understand, there's a lot of holding your ground against waves of enemies, which sounds pretty damn fun. Combat in this game is so fun. Like I said, doing melee, just brilliant. So, next up are optional quests. So, you'll find them in the environment at these beacons. And it's in the free roam mode. Right now, they include things like kill X number of enemies, pick up X number of items that are random drops off of enemies, explore a certain area, pretty simple MMO type of stuff. You know, kill shit, get shit, or go to shit. But it's a great way, you know, they'll take you to different places, you'll see, like, new caves to explore, new enemies kill. One cave that pretty much it's a optional mission to investigate a cave. And this cave, I wouldn't have known it existed if it, or even how to get to it, if I didn't get this optional quest. So it's good for helping you learn the world. And quite frankly, I spend most of my time with these optional quests because they're fun. I mean, it's simple MMO grindy stuff, but it's fun because the game is really fun. It's great to play. It's way more polished than a first-person alpha shooter should be. I mean, if this was a beta, I can understand it looking this good, but this is by far the best-looking PS4 game I have played, and that's counting finished polished things like Infamous Second Son. This game looks so much better. So there's also tasks, which the tasks include things. Pretty much you go to the tower, the hub world, and there's one guy who's a task giver, and he'll give you things like, kill X number of enemies with your super X number of times. So one I have is kill 3 enemies with a single super, repeat 20 times. That takes a long time to do. Supers take 5 to 10 minutes. Recharge, try and get where you'll actually hit 3 enemies for sure. If you miss, you're out 5 to 10 minutes waiting for another recharge. And then there'll be like kill so many enemies with melee without dying, which love that one. You know I do. Then there's get so much experience without dying. You know, pretty standard issue things. There's also crucible-based ones. So crucible is the PvP area. I did not play it. I'm not a fan of PvP. I'm a fan of co-op. And that's what the main exploration in this game was all about. But in the Crucible, it's PvP. I understand it's 6v6 right now. And the Crucible quests will have things like, or tasks will involve, kill 20 warlocks, get 50 assists, you know, pretty much it's a bunch of things that would make achievements in a normal game or trophies in a PS4 game. But you take these back to the Taskmaster and they'll give you mad loots in exchange. So win-win. Then my favorite thing is in the exploration, there's the group or global opportunities. out of the blue, so everyone's doing their own thing. You're in the world, and there could be like 20 dudes running around you. You may randomly decide you just want to team up with someone just for fun. You'll follow them around. They may follow you. You'll see a dude in combat. You'll whip out your sniper rifle and shoot like an enemy who's about to shoot him. You know, it's kind of, you feel like you're a team. And there's, as far as I could tell, no player killing in the normal environment. So in these global opportunities, all of a sudden it'll say something like a giant walker has landed. And these walkers are big, giant, like crab tank bots. So it'll say a walker has landed. You need to get rid of it in 4 minutes or 5 minutes. And people will drop what they're doing. They'll all converge on this one spot. And all of a sudden you have this brilliant experience of anywhere from like 5 people when the servers are light to like 20 or so people running in, all teaming up to take out like this giant walker, you know, spider tank thing. While a bunch of enemies are spawning, shooting at you, somebody will go down. You'll run up to them and revive them. Normally, if you die, from my understanding, in the strike missions, those three-player team things, it's a slow burn before you respawn. In the single-player open exploration area, even though it's multiplayer, but it's single-oriented, unless you choose otherwise, you have to wait about, like, I think 3 to 5 seconds respawn, and you'll respawn a little away. So you'll see someone doing a global thing go down. You'll run up, tag them, bring them back in. You're all working together to take out one big bot or to take out like some, lieutenant level enemies running around. Like, it's great just watching. All of a sudden you're all doing your own shit, and there's 20 dudes working together for one big goal. It is unbelievable. Oh, it's the best part of the game so far. Well, except Peter Dinklage and that melee attack. Okay, a whole lot of things are great on this game so far. So, how about, let's talk about the places in the game. So, first there's the tower, which it's essentially the moon, I think. But it kind of looks like, the Citadel from Mass Effect 1. Or even the hub world, the main ship, whatever it's called, from Phantasy Star Online. There's some grass. It's kind of high-tech, futuristic looking, real pretty place. And at the tower, you could get your tasks. You could buy weapons, get armor, get vehicles. You also, there's a glyph master who, or crypto master, I'm not sure what it is. So essentially you could buy items from this crypto master. And when you buy them, they're unknown and you level up your crypto skill. When your crypto skill gets high enough, you could start unlocking like higher level items from this guy, which will include green rares. And probably, you know, in the full game, you could probably find some really cool random stuff. The thing is, you don't know what you're buying. You know if it's a helmet, if it's gauntlets, if it's greaves, you know, leg armor, if it's body armor, class armor, primary weapon, a secondary weapon, or a heavy weapon. But you don't have any clue what it is you're actually getting into. You could buy garbage, but you're also leveling up your crypto skill. You could buy something unbelievable. You could buy something that's 5 levels above you and you can't touch it for, you know, a long, long time. Don't know what you're getting, but it's kind of half the fun. It's like playing the lottery. And then there's also, of course, when you go through levels, you'll find equipment. Sometimes it'll be unknown. So you had to take it to the crypto guy and he'll identify it for you. So it's kind of the D&D unidentified item type of thing. So tower, it's kind of cool. First person mode. Third person mode. So, you know, you could check out how you look and, you know, it's a social place where you don't need to worry about people killing you. You can also get your mail, so you'll get messages. I'm not sure if they're just like server ones from Bungie or if you could leave mail for a friend. I have no idea. but you start it with a couple mail items, Yuga store items. You know, it's essentially all the usual stuff. Next up would be Earth. And Earth at this point in the alpha is Russia. And it's an old, burnt out Russia. So the environment, it's a lot of grass. There's some snow. I mean, we're talking Russia. There's rocks, there's crags, there's cliffs. And then the buildings are rusted out shells of buildings, which really looks cool. I mean, it's not the usual, like, you know, either buildings are in ruins or buildings are perfect that you'd see in a first-person shooter, or all alien buildings. It's human buildings. It looks like modern day, but they're rusted out like they haven't been touched in ages. Just beautiful atmosphere, and the visuals in this game are unbelievable. For an alpha, they're just, quite frankly, when I loaded the game, first thing I said was this game has no right looking this good. Because as an alpha, it doesn't. It blows away everything I've seen on PS4 so far. So there's also the Crucible, the player versus player area. I have no fucking clue what it's like. I have no interest in going against people. There's the Fallen out there. That'd be the alien race, the Fallen. And there's the Hive. And that's another alien race. And you know what? I need to kill them. We need to unite to kill them. So I don't want to do PvP. Maybe if I had some friends who were in the game with me and we could form a team, maybe. But also, I'm kind of crappy at first-person shooters, so I don't want to just keep dying and having people pissed off at me because I suck on their team. So, yeah. Okay, so real quick on the visuals, beyond being just amazing, I have to say, frame rate, really solid. The effects look really good. The setting is unbelievable. I love the HUD. There's, you know, your health meter. There's the grenade and super that you could see recharging over time as they cool down. There's your melee attack that you could see recharge. When you attack melee, if it's not fully charged, you still do a shit ton of damage with it. And still impressive. So your melee is never nerfed by that. I've read things where some people have said range of vision, your field of view is too limited. Quite frankly, I thought it looked pretty good. I'm not a first-person shooter person. In fact, there's no reason I should even like this game, but truth be told, I love this game. So I guess I am now a first-person shooter. So a couple other things. The multiplayer is real cool when you're just running around the world and you see people randomly and you just kind of team up. You know, you have this good, like, just camaraderie that builds, like, organically. It's a purely organic experience with this game, which makes things that are just unbelievable to experience. Like those global, you know, everyone kill the big spider bot. It's really cool. You don't have to do it. If the timer runs out on killing the spider bot, no one loses. You just don't get experience if you were a part of it or as much experience. But you organically just mesh together. It's you versus the aliens. Something else that's kind of cool is the aliens will attack each other. Sometimes you'll see the Hive and the Fallen in firefights against each other. And you could decide, do I want a part of this and get more experience, or do I want to kind of wait it out and let them weed their numbers down? Or maybe I'll wait for that dude over on that other hill. Maybe he'll come down and we'll both like tag team on this. So that's pretty cool. Also, I have to say though, today, since I'm not getting this out here right when the embargo broke at noon, I have a few thoughts on what I saw reading about what other supposed experts had for their initial impressions of Destiny. And quite frankly, what I saw I didn't like. I have seen some rather cold comments about this pre-alpha or about this alpha coming from some of the internet press. And in particular, I'm looking at Ars Technica and Wired. and just confuses me. Their complaints tend to be focused on either the world being too barren or difficulty being too high. Strange thing about this is an alpha. It is meant to give you a taste and maybe potentially help find some bugs in the game so Bungie knows what to look for. This is not meant to, actually represent the finished game. There will be balancing issues to tackle in terms of challenge, and there will be new quests, new locations, and other content. Did you get dumped from a team mission due to a connection problem? Which is one of the things I read about. This will surprisingly be something I would imagine Bungie is counting on tackling, and also would be well aware of being a potential issue in, let's all say it together, an alpha. Did you die when you found too strong of an enemy in a cave? Well, the level cap sits at level 8 right now, and they made that transparent. They said when you start the alpha, the cap is 8. When you reach 8, they tell you, congratulations, you are at the cap. And they include some more powerful enemies. You know what? When I played through, I actually found those hard enemies in the first few minutes, and they murdered me. Straight up murdered me. I went to that cave later on when I was level 8 with upgraded equipment, upgrade weapons, upgraded armor, upgraded skills. You know what? They were hard as hell because they're like level 11, I believe. And one of them was sort of a lieutenant figure. Had a shield, had some bonus abilities, bonus health. And you know what? It took a long time, but I killed it. Believe it or not, a pre or an alpha doesn't have all the final content hidden away behind invisible walls. It just isn't in the code yet. It's coming. I mean, reading some of these internet articles on it, especially Ars Technica and Wired, because that's some of what I could read on break time at work, because my work has internet filters. But believe it or not, they were talking about the game in a way that almost was talking about how bad it was without talking about the promise of what it is as an alpha. I hate first-person shooters. There, I said it. Truth be told, I really just don't like first-person shooters. They're not my game type. And my final thoughts on this alpha, Bungie, take my money. Just take it. As a non-FPS person, I think this alpha may be the best thing I played in all of 2014. I mean, I was hooked instantly. If the level cap was gone and they just released content as is developed early access style, I would be good to drop $60 on this right now. In fact, I am going pre-order it because I want that beta access. I just hope I get some friends who pick up PS4s, because PS4 gets the beta access early, and that's the system I want to get it for. John will probably get it for Xbox One, unless he does pick up a PS4. I really hope he does. This game, it's won over an FPS hater. Even my wife, who is not into video games all that much and doesn't do first-person shooters, she's interested in playing. So, I mean, come on. That is something awesome. This game is showing off what next-gen on the PS4 can do. It's doing things that Infamous Second Son failed to deliver upon. And Infamous Second Son, as of right now, was supposed to be the one game that is exclusive PS4 that's going to show off what it could do. And this looks better, the visual effects are better, the controls are a hell of a lot better. I played through Infamous Second Son, I enjoyed it. This, I'm loving. So, I don't know the modern landscape for first person beyond Bethesda games, which aren't quite the same. So, all I can say is, for me, the last first-person shooter that really grabbed me in this way, especially on a console, was Halo. And Halo did so well because it was a breath of fresh air on a stale landscape. And that's how I'm feeling with Destiny. So, once again, Bungie, good job. So, I am actually going to, for the first time in my life, pre-order a first-person shooter. I can't get enough of this. Even with the limited content being an alpha, and with the level cap, I just want to keep playing. I want to find more equipment. I want to try out some of the other weapons. Who knows? I don't really want to try the other classes, but you know what? Maybe I want to try the other classes. I want to try things and enjoy it. So anyways, that's my two cents on playing Destiny in alpha form for about 5 days. It's a great experience. And if this is where it's starting at, if this is the blueprint phase, this is the rough draft. This isn't even the rough draft. This is the storyboard before you write the rough draft. Guess what? It's awesome. I have not been this excited about a game in a long time. And I love it because it is so easy to get into. I think especially those global events are something that just are amazing to behold. When you have all of these people who are just doing their own stuff, all of a sudden you hear global event, you summon your speeder bike, you summon your mount, and you see just a dozen people all speeding towards one place from different directions. That is glorious. And you're not fighting each other. As far as I could tell, you're not fighting for equipment. When a dude walked over to a dead body, there was still ammo there, and was green ammo, so secondary weapon. Gray ammo is primary weapon, green is secondary, I believe purple would be heavy weapon. Well, there's still green ammo on ground, and this dude was shooting a shotgun, which is a secondary. So, I don't think you have to worry about fighting over equipment even. I suppose I should mention, of course, there are four emoticon type things you could do on the D-pad. You could point at someone, you could sit down, you could wave, or you can dance. It's an MMO. What can I say? But that doesn't deter me. I'm also an MMO hater, if you don't know that. So, I love the game. I can't wait to see where it goes, and I am going to do some live streaming right now, so let's end this episode of Preposterous Gamer. Thanks for listening, and if you get a chance, sign up for the alpha. If you go to, and let me tell you this website, so if you go to greatnessawaits.com/destiny, you could sign up for the alpha. You need to sign up before the end of tomorrow, I believe. So I think before the end of the 11th. You need to register. It ends June 11th at 11:59 Pacific Standard Time. The alpha is going to go from June 12th to June 15th. You need a PS4, and not everyone's going to get in. If you can, get in, or try to, if you have a PS4. A lot of fun. If you don't have a PS4, when PS1 version comes out down the road, pick that up. This game it's a game changer. So, anyways, once again, thanks for listening, and I just want to say thank you to Donya over at Bungie, who hooked me up with access. Many, many thanks. All right. Enjoy your night. And there'll be another Preposterous Gamer sometime in the future. Good night.